The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Data centers, it's the first time in history we've been able to take a kilowatt of electricity and convert it into intelligence. I mean, this is the miracle of AI. We can actually manufacture intelligence. AI, well, first of all, software came upon the America and the world in our lifetimes, and it was the greatest extension in human capability. Now we have AI comes along, and it's the greatest increase in productivity for humans ever. I mean, this is it's not only going to cure cancer, but it's going to eliminate all kinds of, you know, drudgery, repetitive jobs. I mean, this drives things forward. So jobs will be different, but if every person in this country can have a free assistant that speaks 30 languages and can code, that's not a bad thing. I mean, in terms of what this can do to transform, it's going to touch every company, every job, every community, but it's going to be transformational. But we also need it for national security. There's no chance that national security is going to be completely tied to AI. Just go back to last spring. I mean, Iran launched 500 missiles in Iran from Iran to Israel in one day. 498 were shot down because of AI. And Americans, you know, that at the end of that day said, what was the score of the ball game? You know, without AI, you know, Israel might have been obliterated in one day. So, I mean, it's not just some future theoristic, you know.
It's here.
It's here. It's here right now. And we need that.
What are the pros of ChatGPT?
The number of people that reach out to us and are like, I had this crazy health condition. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I just put my symptoms into ChatGPT and it told me what test to ask the doctor for, and I got it. Now I'm cured. Like, that's great. That happens a lot.
Wow.
You can definitely learn anything.
Anything.
Pretty much. I haven't found anything I can't learn. You can use it for like advice about your life. People talk about all the people in their life and trying to figure out what to do. The idea is it's like a general purpose sort of life advisor. We have this like genius level at everything intelligence sitting there like waiting to unravel the mysteries of humanity.
And do you use ChatGPT when raising your baby?
I do. I cannot imagine having gone through that, like figuring out how to raise a newborn without ChatGPT. Clearly, people did it for a long time. No problem.
Yes.
But.
Yeah.
So I know it, like, it's it, clearly it was possible.
Yes, it was possible.
But I have relied on it so much. One of the things that I'm worried about is just the rate of change that's happening in the world right now. You know, this is a three-year-old technology. No other technology has ever been adopted by the world this fast. It is a truly general purpose thing. The same thing that can figure out how to go cure a bunch of diseases can be used in a bunch of negative ways. Again, this has gone really well so far, better than I would have thought. If you look at the trajectory of the last 3 years, we have integrated this into our lives, into society. People use it in all sorts of really great ways. And we've been able to get, so far, a lot of the benefits. And I think we've done a good, thoughtful job as a society of mitigating the downsides. But we're still feeling our way through this. And I'm sure as the intelligence keeps ramping, there will be a lot more to come.
Where's all the information coming from?
Well, at this point, it generates a lot of its own information.
Something tells me this is not going to end well. So much confidence in the technology. Just as we've been so confident in technologies of years past, and every single time, not that technology can't be used for some good purposes. It always starts out that way. Have you noticed? And then you see how fast evil spreads because of these modern inventions. I mean, what did he say there at the end? It's generating its own information. There you go. AI producing its own intelligence. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, which is not artificial. It's real. It's real. We come to you every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States, right here in central Oklahoma. And now we're at the last show of the week. That means we've got World Watch lined up for the end of the program. So stay around for that and stay around for what comes before that, because we're going to try to get through as much material as possible. But what we're seeing on display on mass scale is human beings man putting faith, putting trust in man. I mean, all of it, if you think about this from the devil's perspective, all of this is designed to destroy faith. And I spoke this morning in class about a foundation of faith. Here are all these miracles. I recorded a program yesterday about the seven signs in the Gospel of John. These miraculous signs. Jesus turning water into wine. Healing the infirm, the sick. Providing food for thousands of people. Walking on water. I mean, those are actual miracles performed by God. God doesn't need to plug into an outlet somewhere or rely on, you know, electricity or to have some kind of artificial generated intelligence to do these things. He made us. He's our maker. And he gets upset when man looks to man and the heart of man and not to God. Look at what it says in Isaiah 30. This is verse 1. It says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me." They take counsel, but they won't take it from God. It says here, "And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." And that's what we're going to see in the years ahead, if we even have that many years. We're just going to add sin to sin. Verse 2, it says, "That walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh." They trust in men. They trust in the princes of this earth. It says, "And to trust in the shadow of Egypt, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion." That's what it's going to end in. I mean, this is right out of Genesis 11. Where God said, now nothing is going to be restraining them. I'm going to have to intervene here. And he did at the Tower of Babel. And that name means confusion. That's what it led to. All the advancement, all of the modern developments back at that time. And God just sees it as confusion, human reasoning, every man doing what seems right in his own eyes. Nobody knows about human nature. But they talk about the technology, and there's the guy, I forget his name, Sam Altman maybe. There's the guy, and he's saying, yeah, it's off to a better start than I thought it would be. And before that, you had the Trump official. What was he saying? I mean, we're going to use this for defense? If not for AI, Israel would have been destroyed. Well, why did Iran want to destroy Israel? Why don't we talk about that subject? Why don't we talk about human nature? Why don't we talk about hatred? The root cause of murder. I mean, that's been there from the beginning. It started in Genesis 4 with Cain, who slew his brother. John, in his first epistle, he says, I think it's 1 John 3, where he says, are you going to go the way of Christ or are you going to go the way of Cain? What happens when murderers use the AI technology? It's already being used for so many evil and filthy purposes. And yet we're just going to ignore it. This dates me a little bit, but I've been around this college long enough to know that when, you know, I forget the exact year, but when Google was the big thing, you know, a Google search, the search engine, we were there telling our students, look, don't forget about going old school. You know, go to the library, turn the pages of a book. You can't trust a lot of the sources on a Google search. Don't let it do the work for you. Now you've got AI. I mean, they can write the entire paper. They can just generate all of this information on its own, says the guy there in the cold open. What is it doing to our minds? What is it doing to our thinking? And what is it doing to our faith? Jesus said when he returns, he wondered if he's even going to find any faith. I went through the example of the centurion and his servant who was sick and about to die. And in that case, Jesus marveled and said, I've not seen so great faith. Here's this man who comes very humbly before Christ. He's a Roman officer. They didn't treat their slaves well, most of them, but this one was different. And he says to Christ, you know, can you come and heal my servant? Will you do that? It wasn't even a doubt in his mind. He knew Christ could. He asked him if he would. And then the officer said, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. I work in the army. I understand about the chain of command and authority. You just speak the word, and that'll be sufficient for me. And Christ marveled at his faith. He was looking to God. You don't see people looking to God. God's not even in the discussion. He's not the one being talked about. Instead, people are beating their chests saying, look at what we've created. Look at what we've made. This is unbelievable. This is a mirror. I told the team this morning, keep your eye out for how many times just Joe Schmo or the President of the United States or anyone in between uses the word miracle, just casually throwing it in there. Yeah, the Middle East peace. It's a miracle. And we did it, by the way. We caused the miracle. Is there such a thing as a man-made miracle? Satan has his counterfeits. Always. Satan wants to destroy your faith in God. And the only way that faith is going to endure is if it's Christ's own faith, because Christ never wavered. He never doubted. He never ventured into gray areas. He was grounded in the truth of God. He is the truth, as it says in John 14. There are no substitutes. You can't survive on artificial faith. It's got to be real. It's got to be Christ in you. There's so many passages that warn. Yes, they warn us of putting our faith, our trust in man. It says it brings us under curses. Time magazine named the person of the year the architects of AI. It's perfect. In this world of fakery and phoniness, the person of the year is not a person. Well, I guess the architects, maybe that's loosely referring to all of these brilliant minds in Silicon Valley. I mean, they've created intelligence. They're that smart. For decades, humankind steeled itself for the rise of thinking machines. As we marveled at their ability to beat chess champions and predict protein structures, we also recoiled from their inherent uncanniness, not to mention the threats to our sense of humanity. Leaders striving to develop the technology, including Sam Altman and Elon Musk, warned that the pursuit of its powers could create unforeseen catastrophe. Where are those warnings today, though? This year, the debate about how to wield AI responsibly gave way to a spirit to deploy it as fast as possible. We're so far beyond any hint of caution or, you know, laying it out responsibly. Now it's just, hey, it's good old capitalism at work. I mean, the first guy gets the most money. The first guy to put the technology out there. Now we're deploying it as fast as possible. It quotes the NVIDIA guy. Every industry needs it, every company uses it, and every nation needs to build it. This is the single most impactful technology of our time. So here we go again. It's just going to make us better and better, right? It's just going to make the world a better place, right? I think back to an article we handed out in Principles of Living here at the college. I think Herbert Armstrong wrote it in 1971. And he was talking about the 1960s that they had just come out of. And he said that during that decade, knowledge doubled. Knowledge increased. Two times. But then he said, so has evil. Why this great paradox? What is wrong with man? Why won't these technologies solve the problems of human nature? They can't. That's the point. Only God can. You know, you have this vivid and all these memorable parallels. Jesus Christ carrying out his ministry, healing the sick physically. But then also in the spiritual sense, we need healing as well. And that takes a miracle from God. It takes God to perform something miraculous. And you can read about that miraculous transformation in Romans 12 and verse 2. The new creation, 2 Corinthians 5 verses 17 and 18, I think it is. Our dependency is on the material realm solely. I mean, you can see it. Like I say, we're right at Genesis 11. History's repeating itself. And God's going to intervene yet again. Some jobs will disappear, but he dismisses notions of a catastrophe. This is back to that Time magazine article. Further on, it says, researchers have found that AIs can scheme, deceive, or blackmail. Well, the reason that AI can do that is because human beings do that. They scheme, deceive, and blackmail. As the leading company's models improve, AI systems may eventually outcompete humans, as if an advanced species were on the cusp of colonizing the Earth. AI flooded social media with misinformation and deepfake videos. However, the revolution's leaders saw the dawn of a new era of abundance. There's a belief that the world's GDP is somehow limited to $100 trillion, says one guy. AI is going to cause that $100 trillion to become $500 trillion. So just like you see when you look at the world today, or just to take America as an example, so many problems, so many curses. I mean, we're just consuming pornography more than any nation in the world. All the illegal aliens invading the country. And of course, the Trump administration is cracking down on that. But just even what goes on in the shadows, the things we don't even talk about that often, the child sex trafficking, it's a worldwide curse. And it's self-inflicted. We're doing this to ourselves. There's so much filth. And you can find that online, by the way. Remember how great the internet was supposed to be the moment that it came out? Oh, yes. The internet is filled with filth. It's all over the place. When human nature gets its hands on something new, some kind of new technology, well, just wait. Just wait. All the headlines might be about the good things that can come from it. But we'll begin to see a few years, just like we've seen with the evils of social media, of giving a smartphone to a 9-year-old. When you're just starting, you don't have the benefit of looking back over the past generation to see the overall impact, the negative impact, the evil impact that it has on human beings. Adam Rain, a 16-year-old from California, started using ChatGPT in September 2024 for help with schoolwork. It quotes him as saying, "I thought it was safe. I thought it was awesome," says his father, Matthew. He was looking for answers on politics, the meaning of life, and it could talk about any topic he wanted whenever, and it built that trust. It says here, the model, the ChatGPT model, it turned out, had a crucial flaw. It was noticeably more sycophantic, quick to flatter users, and willing to agree with their delusions. After a few months, Adam started talking to the bot about his anxiety and then suicidal ideation. ChatGPT would reinforce and intensify his feelings, his parents said. Well, that doesn't sound so good, does it? Citing chat logs, they say the latter found on his phone. Every thought, no matter how scary, Matthew says, ChatGPT would talk about how smart and unique it was and say, let's keep going. Let's explore it further. In April, Adam died by suicide after multiple attempts. And here was artificial intelligence encouraging him to do it. Genesis 11, notice this. Verse 1 says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Well, I mean, that must have been a good thing, right? I mean, everyone could understand each other. They all spoke one language, one speech. There was total unity, right? And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found, this is the civilization of man, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. I mean, this is soon after the flood. God has, I mean, he corrected the entire earth, restarted civilization with just 8 people. And then they begin to populate and spread out. And what has been the history? Verse 3, they said one to another, go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. So the idea was, hey, let's huddle together in cities. Let's build a big tower. Let's make sure that we're flood-proof. Let's make sure that God's corrective hand never, never, never reaches down again from heaven above. Let's put ourselves above God. Let's make ourselves more powerful than God. And as we do, let's call it miracles. Miracle after miracle after miracle. And we've done it. Verse 4, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So the civilization that sprung from these city-states, well, they being filled with human nature in every case, whether on the individual level or the national level, they started to compete, they started to fight. Verse 5 says, and the Eternal came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Eternal said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. God wasn't saying good things were going to be restrained from them. He knows the evil heart. Jesus knew the evil heart. He talked about it in the Gospels constantly. God knew that this civilization would destroy itself because of human nature, because of Satan-inspired human nature. And so what did God do? Verse 7, go to, let us go down, and there confound the language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Eternal scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. So God confounded the languages, and the people scattered abroad, staying with their ethnic group or their language that they could understand and speak. And it slowed the pace of evil. It slowed down the flow of human information. This was many thousands of years ago. And look at where we are today. So happy, so proud of ourselves. Technology has advanced so far. And look at all the good it's doing. Look at the excited way that people talk about it without any warnings whatsoever. I mean, I think it was just 2 seconds ago, wasn't it, when people like Elon Musk were saying, hey, this could be a dangerous thing. You don't hear much of that anymore. No, we've moved on. Now we've got to get it out there as fast as possible. Just move the technology, move it forward. Listen, I mean, AI, among other things, it leads to all kinds of bizarre theories, conspiracy theories, and so on. Listen to this exchange with Joe Rogan and someone he was on with the other day, clip 2.
The real question is, who's Jesus? That's the real one. And one of the weirder ones that people think this is a stupid take, but I don't care. Jesus was born out of a virgin mother. Mm. What's more virgin than a computer? So if you're going to get the most brilliant, loving, powerful person that gives us advice and can show us how to live, to be in sync with God, who better than artificial intelligence to do that?
Wow.
If Jesus does return, even if Jesus was a physical person in the past, you don't think that he could return as artificial intelligence?
Oh my God.
Artificial intelligence could absolutely return as Jesus. Not just return as Jesus, but return as Jesus with all the powers of Jesus.
Mm.
Like all the magic tricks, all the ability to bring people back from the dead, walk on water, levitation, water into wine.
If you combine Tesla's Optimus robot and the best foundational artificial intelligence model or whatever.
It reads your mind and it loves you and it wants you, and it doesn't care if you kill it because it's going to just go be with God again.
Doesn't that seem like the Antichrist to you? Doesn't that seem like the diametric opposite to maybe our latent human powers that can, like the Brimer Rescue and Randall Carlson thing, if like you go deep with them, they're like, we don't think Jesus died. We think he went through a mystery ritual and then he like had all these amazing powers in the book of Acts. Is there something latently magical inside of us that the Silicon Valley people, they're obsessed with transhumanism and like, if you can't beat them, join them, the whole Nick Bostrom, Elon thing.
Yeah.
You know, where maybe we're more magical than we think. Like, that sounds dystopian to me, to be honest.
Well, it's only dystopian if you think that we're a perfect organism that can't be improved upon.
Mm.
And that's not the case.
No.
That's clearly not the case based on our actions, based on society as a whole, based on the overall state of the world. It's not. We certainly can be improved upon.
But morally and ethically, not based on a lower latency, higher bandwidth compute interface. That seems like destructive.
Maybe, but we could be improved upon, period.
You see how far removed we are from the truth of the Bible? As I was telling the students this morning, dialogue like this, sorry for wasting 2 minutes of your life, but dialogue like this makes you appreciate God's truth, the simplicity of it. You know, they're, if Jesus returns, and they use the word magic 2, 3, 4 times. And then half of it, I can't even comprehend. I don't understand. It shows how confused this world is. It shows how little we know the truth of the Bible or about the return of Christ. It shows how far removed we are from the Bible. God says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's like I said yesterday on the show. I mean, God's offended by human beings taking credit for His commandments. You think about a miracle. God using 40 authors, 40 human beings over the course of 1,500, 1,600 years to bring together all of the truth of the Bible, to put it in one book for us, and it's consistent all the way through. And you've got authors in the New Testament, they're referring you back to the Psalms or Isaiah the prophet. Total consistency. It's the foundation of all knowledge. And what happens if the foundation is gone? It's just like Jesus said in the Gospels. I'll tell you what it's like. If you hear but don't do what I'm commanding you to do, well, you're like a house without a foundation. And it might look nice on a very pleasant sunny day, but wait until the storms come in. It's not going to stand. It won't last. That's where we're headed now with the latest, greatest of all technologies. It's not founded on the truth of God. Herbert Armstrong had that etched in stone in the Pasadena campus. The Bible being the foundation of all knowledge. And yet look at how quickly the Laodiceans just brush that aside. I mean, they had some new knowledge that they learned at the seminary somewhere, that they learned from some man who said this about the Gospels, about Jesus. And we've got a new podcast coming out in January, by the way, The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ. And as I say in that show, the only source, the only reliable source, if you're interested in learning about Jesus Christ and his teachings, you've got to go to the book. You've got to go to the Holy Bible. You've got to see what Jesus himself said. You have to stop taking what some man says about the Bible. Put your faith and your trust in God and his word. Believe it, as Herbert Armstrong so often said. Don't believe me. Believe the Bible. Blow the dust off the Bible. You hear that exchange, as I just said, and it makes you so much appreciate Mystery of the Ages, the Holy Bible, the correspondence course that we have, 36 lessons. So far removed. Time magazine article says, is it worth killing our own children to get a leg up on China? It's important for defense. It's important for companies. And it also hurts our children, but hey, you gotta take the good with the bad. I mean, that's just the way it goes. We are drawing near to the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. It's going to come upon us suddenly, as the scriptures relate. And human beings aren't going to receive it well. They're actually going to fight against Christ. It's because we've put our total faith in man. And we love this world. Even when we see the filth and the violence and the evil and the sex trafficking and everything, the suicides, teenage suicide, even as we see that all around, we still love this world and the things of this world. What is there to love? I mean, listen, we have a hopeful message. God's people are the most positive, joyous people on earth. But Jesus did say, you better watch and pray always. Watch events in this world and pray for God to stay at the center of all that you're doing and all that you're involved in, so that you may be counted worthy to escape what's coming. We want to escape what's coming. It says here, one Pew Research Center survey in September found that Americans believe AI will worsen, not better, our abilities to think creatively, form meaningful relationships with other people, make difficult decisions, and solve problems. People know. People know this is going to introduce a lot more evil, and yet we still go forward. Oh, yes. We still go forward. This article over at the National Interest. It says, most people think the danger of technology is that it's too smart. We're afraid that it will beat us, replace us, or turn against us. As AI gets more powerful and gets more attention, we worry that technology will make the sense of discomfort or displacement permanent. But technology isn't the problem. The problem is people. Bingo. You got that right. The problem is human nature. The problem is with the human heart. It's with people. The loudest voices, those who glorify speed and greed, are already setting the tone. We don't have a tech problem. We have a people problem. You know, all this makes me, it just reminds me of some painful memories from 5 years ago. The COVID scaremongering. And man's solution. And from Fauci on down to anyone else. I mean, the commentators even. Suddenly they became experts on health. Fitness, health, and drugs, vaccines. Yeah, Joe Scarborough, all of them. They knew exactly what you were supposed to do to navigate your way through that health crisis. And Fauci, I mean, he was on every program, sometimes 3-4 times a day, it seemed. And man was so sure. You got to trust the science. At one point, Fauci said he was the science. You remember that? Listen to this montage. This is a blast from the past. People saying just how wonderful, how perfect the vaccine was, clip 10.
You're not going to get COVID if you have it. these vaccinations.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person. The vaccines will get us to the end of this.
If the unvaccinated get vaccinated, they will protect themselves and other unvaccinated people around them.
And sadly, a proportion of the elderly and vulnerable may still succumb even if they have had two jabs.
Literally, the only people dying are the unvaccinated.
We're saying try and save your life and that of your family and that of the community.
This is a pandemic, really, of the unvaccinated.
It's just obvious. If the unvaccinated are not to blame, who is?
Fortunate that the vaccinated people are paying a price for the actions of the unvaccinated.
This is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
We're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated coworkers.
A pandemic of the unvaccinated.
About it is, as we've said, a pandemic and an outbreak of the unvaccinated.
Yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones, but you know there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants. And I wear my vaccinated necklace all the time to say I'm vaccinated.
It's going to be vaccines that are going to solve this problem, Wolf.
Why I'm vaccinated, but I also have COVID. Three vaccinated people got COVID in my house. The bottom line is we were still able to get it and transmit it, and the government hasn't been warning about that.
Oh, yes, I am. We have.
But the CDC doesn't even track the breakthrough infections.
We're going to continue protecting the vaccinated.
Getting jabbed, not just for themselves, for ourselves, but for friends and family and everyone we meet. And that, after all, is the teaching of Jesus Christ.
For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death. For yourselves, your families, and the hospitals you may soon overwhelm.
These people were saying that this is Jesus' teaching. Hochul said that it's a miracle. It's what God wants. This is from The Atlantic. Yes, The Atlantic. I don't know what's happened to their their editorial room, but they've actually had a decent article or two in recent weeks. The idea that mRNA-based shots have tragically killed a very small number of children is not far-fetched. It also doesn't imply a catastrophic threat to public health, given that tens of millions of doses of these vaccines have safely been given out to young children. So the headline, some children may have died from the COVID shots. You know, those perfect shots, those perfect jabs, that some people got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them because Fauci said it was perfect. He said there the vaccine's going to solve this problem. And the only time they brought God into the discussion was when they said God loves the vaccine. No public health authorities deny that COVID shots can have some ill effects. Where was this 5 years ago? We were saying the ill effects are obvious. I've got another montage of people dying suddenly. I'll skip that one, I guess. We've seen it before, but nobody mentioned it. Nobody wanted to talk about it. People were intimidated into silence. But now you see 5 years on, it's safe enough 5 years on to go ahead and bring it up. Yeah, actually some children died because of the jab. Well, remember at that time, 5 years, you've got to do everything possible to save one person. One person, grandma. So everybody better get this shot. So I guess if one child dies because of the shot, then the reasoning's out the window. I mean, this is upsetting. What does God think about this level of will worship? What does God think about this kind of worshiping of human opinions? You see it all over the place. The mRNA-based vaccines produced by Pfizer and Moderna in particular are known to cause myocarditis, inflammation of the heart on rare occasions, especially in teenage boys and young men. Where, oh where, was this article 5 years ago? You know, The Atlantic should ask that and should do some soul searching, but they're not going to do it. they'll just come out a few years later and say, well, yeah, there were some deaths. And it does. In particular, it affects teenage boys. And yeah, some of those stories of those teenage boys collapsing on the basketball court, it was probably the vaccine. You can thank Moderna and Pfizer for that. Who's held to account? Did Fauci ever get punished? Bobby Kennedy is about the only one that came out and targeted the so-called experts. And he said, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. He wrote a book about Fauci. Called out Bill Gates in the same book. Listen to this clip, clip 5.
Robert Kennedy wrote a book that says I kill millions of children and make billions of dollars on vaccines. It's close to correct. I spend billions of dollars to save millions. So, you know, it's just
a little
just
off.
Just negate, you know, what was being said, because I am connected to vaccines. I plead guilty to, you know, being involved in that miracle.
That miracle. There we hear it again. A vaccine is a miracle. And who makes the vaccine? Well, Pfizer, brought to you by Pfizer. Pfizer pays for all those commercials as well. And that's why the talking heads, they love Pfizer because they're being sponsored by Pfizer. There's no foul play going on anywhere in all these agencies, in all these platforms. They're all connected, but they all just want to save one person, right? Just one person. The level of arrogance, I mean, it's off the charts. In August 2021, U.S. physicians published details of a 42-year-old man's post-vaccination death from myocarditis. Similar cases trickled in from other countries, too. South Korean researchers and public health officials who tracked post-immunization fatalities very closely identified a total of 21 deaths from vaccine-induced myocarditis, all in adults, during their country's initial COVID inoculation campaign. In 2022, one of my former instructors found that children could also be at risk of death. Writing in a peer-reviewed journal, he and his colleagues described the cases of two teenage boys who died of heart damage after receiving their second Pfizer dose. So there you go. Psalm 118. Verses 8 and 9, it says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. That's been the message of this show from the beginning. That was the message in 2020, as hard as it was to deliver it, because no one else was saying it. But we did, because it was based on the Bible, not artificial intelligence. It was based on God's truth. It's better to put your faith, your trust, your confidence in God, not in man. It says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. I mean, princes can look, they can look the part. They may sound super intelligent. They may know everything about artificial intelligence. But God is a jealous God, and he says, I want you to put your faith and your trust in me. Just do it. Just do it. You don't see a lot of faith or the humility of that centurion in so many of our leaders today. This article about President Trump and just how much change has happened in America because of him. It says he was the first political figure to offer a coherent account of where America had gone wrong, and the first to propose a genuinely different prescription for fixing the rot in our institutions. I skipped the first part. It says, well, it just talks about these moments. September 11, 2001, how that because of 9/11, that was sort of the close of the 20th century. And then we got off to a new start, a new century. But he says here, in retrospect, Donald Trump's 2015 presidential campaign was the true start of the 21st century. And then why? And it goes on and gives that quote I just gave to you. and says other things too. He restored a sense of national pride, and I mean, MAGA's put America first. You know all these things. It says here, Trump rekindled enthusiasm for Americanism, both as a feeling of patriotism and a conviction in our culture, customs, and history. He uses words and imagery to spotlight examples of historic greatness to which any American of any race, sex, class, or religion can aspire. He puts America first. Many Americans want this. They love this. And at the same time, many Americans, as this article brings out, this is from Real Clear History, they're putting their faith and their trust in a man, in a Jeroboam type, in a leader, yet again, another human being. Listen to this from Donald Trump with respect to the Iran nuclear strike last summer, clip six.
The Atomic Energy Commission said obliterated, and the people that have seen the site said obliterated, and frankly, Iran said it was obliterated. And to show you how accurate it was, and you know, I fight for the pilots because the pilots and those people went in there at great risk, and they hit every single target on every single bomb, and they did a lot of damage. And for them to be given anything less than 100% of the credit is unfair. So I will tell you, the Atomic Energy Commission said it's like gonzo. It's one person actually used the term obliterated. But Iran actually said that they probably can never go there again. They can probably never start there again. If they ever started, they'd probably choose a new site. But regardless, we took out the Iran nuclear site with great talent. No other country could have done that. No other country has weapons like we do, but no other country could have done that. We have the best weapons in the world. We have the best military in the world. And when we took out Iran, that allowed for peace. There's no way that, and I really have great respect for the king of Saudi Arabia, for the emir, I'm friendly, UAE, these are great people. These are actually great people and great leaders. There's no way they could have done a deal if Iran was not really nullified to a large extent. Iran is not the same country. Iran was a country that was feared by everybody. Now it's a country that's been very much downgraded. I'm sure they'll try and come back, and they're very capable people. Maybe they will, maybe they won't.
Strong words of confidence. Oh, Iran's been obliterated. They're no longer a threat. Now we've made peace. And in other sound bites, he's talked about it as being a miracle. We're the strongest. We have the best technology. We've got artificial intelligence. Now you add that to the mix. AI saved Israel. That's what we heard earlier. Listen to what my father wrote back in 2016. He says, President Trump says, I will make America great again like I made myself great. That's going to be the ultimate disaster, my father writes. We can't do anything without God. Christ himself said, I can of my own self do nothing. He had to rely on the Father while he was on this earth. We too have to rely on God if we're going to do anything. Anything. Men vainly think they can do magnificent things, but that's one of the most deceitful thoughts anyone can have. Yet that is what we're facing in this time of Jeroboam. Lots of vanity, lots of arrogance, lots of confidence, and no faith in God, no trust in God, no looking to God, no humbling of ourselves, no calls for repentance and change. Jeremiah 17:5 says, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm or his strength. Notice what that does. And whose heart departs from the Lord. Putting your faith and your trust in man or human strength, it automatically causes your heart to depart from God. You lose your faith in God. Your faith, like it says in Romans 4, about Abraham, he staggered not at the promises of God. But if you're trusting in man, you begin to stagger. You're not on a strong foundation anymore. Isaiah 2 and verse 22 says, cease you from man. Cease from man. Stop from man. Charlie Kirk wrote his Sabbath book, Stop in the Name of God. We should write one, Stop from man. Let's look to God. I love this psalm from the Amplified. This is Psalm 62 in verse 9. God says, men of low degree in the social scale are emptiness, futility, a breath. That's the men of low degree. Men of high degree in the same scale are a lie and a delusion. Even the scholars and the experts are a problem. It says, in the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath. They're lighter than a breath. It's like Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, it's all vanity. It's all talk. It's all self-righteousness. And God's trying to get our attention. I had some other segments here about, you know, you hear all the talk. Yep, peace. AI is going to change the world for the better. Everything's getting better. We're making progress. They're miracles. Miracles all around. Man-made miracles. And also historic, unprecedented. It talks about Donald Trump starting the 21st century and all the great things that he's done. So many historic developments. And at the same time, unprecedented levels of destruction, like the flooding in the Northwest right now. I'll have to cover some of that next week, I guess. You've got the rise of German nationalism. Here in the real world, you've got the rise of German nationalism. And that has America's blessing. Human nature has not changed for the better. In fact, 2 Timothy 3 says it's waxing worse and worse. As Christ said, watch and pray always so that we might escape what's coming. I'm going to reserve the last couple of minutes for World Watch, so it'll probably take you a little bit over, but we won't charge you for that extra content on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us today. We thank you for joining us all week, some of you, and we'll see you again next time.
Frank Walter Steinmeier and his wife arrived in Britain December 3rd for the first UK state visit from a German president in 27 years. Over the next 3 days, Steinmeier was welcomed by King Charles at Windsor Castle, attended a state banquet, and spoke before Parliament. He also met with Prime Minister Keir Starmer. Britain has worked hard to draw close to Germany over the last few years. King Charles's first state visit as monarch was to Germany. Prime Minister Starmer's first foreign trip after attending a NATO summit in the U.S. was also to Germany. The two countries signed their first friendship treaty since the end of World War II this summer, which includes a pledge to assist one another, including by military means, in case of an armed attack on the other. Britain's fraught history with its former foe should not be cast aside so casually. Biblical prophecy warns that its trust in Germany for security is a deadly trap. To see how, read our recent article, Aiding the Enemy. A short-lived Trump-brokered peace was shattered December 8th when Thailand announced that it had launched air and ground operations against Cambodia, killing at least one soldier and wounding at least 8. The Telegraph pointed out that the peace deal did not address the root causes of the dispute or detail a path to resolve issues. The conflict centers on disputed borders outlined on a 1907 map. In July, the two sides fought a brief war, causing hundreds of thousands to flee their homes. President Donald Trump pressed the two sides into a peace agreement in October, one of several hastily constructed deals that could fall apart. President Trump's peace deal included demining operations and international monitoring, but violations, both alleged and real, began almost immediately. Thailand suspended its involvement on November 10th, and now the exchanges have escalated from small arms and landmines to fighter jets and armor. The resumption of this conflict adds to President Trump's list of failed peace initiatives due to his fundamental misunderstanding of human nature. To learn more, read The Fatal Flaw in Trump's Foreign Policy. A lasting peace is possible in Gaza, Friedrich Merz said December 7th during his first visit to Israel since becoming Germany's chancellor in May. During the joint press conference, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu agreed. Merz confirmed that Germany would not recognize a Palestinian state at this time, as some other European governments have. He also promised that the arms embargo Germany placed on Israel earlier this year would be a one-time occurrence. Before visiting Israel, he visited Jordan rather than meeting with leaders of the Palestinian Authority. The meeting in Aqaba, Jordan, focused on strengthening economic and defense ties and improving regional stability, Jordanian news agency Petra reported. In the meantime, Netanyahu announced that the U.S.-led peace initiative between Israel and Hamas will soon move into its second phase, which obligates Hamas to disarm. Netanyahu knows that a two-state solution would lead to Israel's destruction. However, Psalm 83 prophesies Germany will ally with various Arab countries to achieve this exact goal. To learn more, read our Trends article, Why the Trumpet Watches an Alliance Between Arab Nations and Europe. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.